Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got a whole lot to do today as we're rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Eric Eager, live from the Combine, the VP of Sumer Sports. He's going to stop by at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. And before that, we're going to be joined by Bart Winkler on Winkler Wednesdays right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio at 4:40 p.m. Eastern, 1:40 p.m. Pacific. All righty. Moist Mike here with us, Ryan Botcher as well. Can I ask a question right out of the gate? And maybe that this is just me not being able to see things. Is Stu off today? Or is Stu behind the glass? Oh, there Stu is. Sorry, I was about to say Stuart Kovacs is here with us too. But since Botcher is training with us, I can't see Stu right now because Stu is blocked by a monitor. And I thought I was like maybe hallucinating right out of the gate because I thought I saw Stu about 4 minutes ago. And then I sit down here and Stu was nowhere to be found. But now I see Stu is hard at work. But anyway, I just did my weekly appearance on 560 WQAM with Mark Hochman and Channing Crowder. And those guys aren't happy with me right now. And I wouldn't say Channing Crowder isn't happy with me. I think Mark Hochman isn't happy with me because they said, oh, what are you talking about today? And I said, oh, ironically enough, we're actually leading the show with the Miami Dolphins today. Because I saw that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel were speaking at the Combine, and they're talking about their desire to get a deal done with Tua Tagovailoa, who's entering the final year of his contract, and it's the fifth-year option from being a first-round pick, and they're going to meet at the Combine with Tua's representatives, and they want to try to get a deal done. And in this report, it also says Tua is projected to get $50 million per year in a potential contract extension. And I understand when the outsider says something about your quarterback, it elicits a stronger response than if it was someone that was a Dolphins fan. And when I was on with those guys, I never said that Tua Tagovailoa is trash. I never said Tua Tagovailoa is a bad quarterback, an average quarterback, or an above-average quarterback. I simply just said that Tua Tagovailoa is a good quarterback. Tua, probably at his best, is the eighth best quarterback in football. And then at his worst, he's 12th or 13th. I think Tua is in that range, high end eight, low point being the 13th best quarterback in football. I think Tua is a good quarterback. But the point I was making is I'm not rushing to give Tua an extension this offseason. And this is the biggest dilemma that teams have in the NFL is when you have a good quarterback but not a great quarterback, you still have to pay that quarterback great money. And I don't think Tua should be paid a contract that is worth $50 million a year. Now, if he gets that deal, I'm not going to be sitting here and saying, oh, shame on Tua for getting his money, because that's what the market dictates for a good but not great quarterback. And maybe one day Tua turns into and develops into a great quarterback. But personally, I don't think Tua has the ceiling of being a great quarterback in the NFL. I think his ceiling is just being a very good quarterback. And I was the one person, and this is the crazy part, that going into last season said, I'm not concerned about the injury status of Tua Tagovailoa. I actually predicted that Tua was going to be healthy this past offseason heading into this season of 2023. So it's not like I'm a Tua hater. It's not like I want to see Tua fail. I am rooting for Tua Tagovailoa. I like Tua Tagovailoa, but I could like a player. I could be rooting for a player. And then I could also be fair and acknowledge that so far Tua's career in the NFL has been a disappointment. Now, when you say it's been a disappointment, once again, let me reiterate, I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying he's trash and he's garbage as an NFL quarterback. I'm not. But Tua was once talked about as a transcendent talent. Tua was once talked about as one of the greater players or the best player in college football. Like, the talk about Tua was so high, and he didn't even end up being the first quarterback to go in his draft class. Now, he only fell from potentially being the first overall pick, and it ended up being Joe Burrow with his emergence, down to being the fifth overall pick and being the second quarterback off the board. But there was a time in college where if you got on the radio when Tua was in college and you said, oh, Tua's not going to be the first quarterback in his draft class, or Tua's not going to be a top three pick, that would have been inconceivable. That would have been unheard of. And so far in the NFL, I only look at Tua having one season that has really impressed me. And even though that season was this past year, what was the big moment? Like, he put up good stats, but Bill Belichick used to say it all the time, stats are for losers. And there were quite a few games that you could look at where Tua did not perform well with the game on the line. The Kansas City game in Germany. The end of the season. Heck, I picked the Dolphins to win the division before the year started. So you can't say I'm a Dolphins hater, but they had the division lead for practically the entire year, and they choked it down the stretch. And I get it. There were injuries on the defensive side of the ball. But guess who also had injuries on the defensive side of the ball? The Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills was as vulnerable as they've ever been in the last few years. And still, with how many chances the Bills tried to hand you that game in the final game of the season in your building, Tua and the Dolphins couldn't take control of that game and win that game. So I'm not sorry when I get on the radio in Miami or I get on the radio today around the country, across North America, and say that if I'm running the Miami Dolphins right now, I'm making Tua prove it another season. And yes, I'm not a dummy. I could acknowledge that in all likelihood, Tua's going to get an extension, and probably it's going to happen this offseason because teams are in that dilemma. Well, what else are we going to do? And a few years ago, Tom Brady was the hot name. Now Tom Brady is retired. So what else are the Dolphins going to be able to do to go get a quarterback that's going to be better than Tua? The answer is probably not there. But it doesn't mean that you need to rush this offseason and give him an extension. Because that extension comes with a lucrative price tag and a hefty, and I mean a hefty, guaranteed price. And when you give guaranteed money out like that, you don't get it back. You have to give it to that player, the guaranteed money. So what happens this year if Tua doesn't perform as well, or if Tua, God forbid, gets hurt again or gets concussed again, and you give him an extension this offseason, everyone a year from now is going to be saying, man, the Dolphins panicked. The Dolphins rushed. The Dolphins, they gave him that contract extension too soon. All I'm asking for is simply this. Tua, prove to me in back-to-back seasons you could stay healthy. Prove to me statistically, even though I think the stats are very misleading with Tua, that you could be perceived as a top 10 quarterback in back-to-back seasons. And if you do that this year, then a year from now, I'll give you the big fat contract extension. But until I see it in back-to-back years, I don't think I need to give Tua Tagovailoa a contract extension this offseason. And it's crazy now when a quarterback just shows one competent season, how quick we are to pay the quarterback. Like, look at Jalen Hurts. Perfect example. And Jalen Hurts has been better as a pro than Tua has ever been. Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. He took a team to a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts got a big fat contract extension after that one great season. And now what are people doing the last 3-4 weeks? They're questioning if it was a one-hit wonder from Jalen Hurts. They're questioning if Jalen Hurts is the long-term answer in Philadelphia, if this is a Carson Wentz situation 2.0. There have been so many times, and I get it, it's someone else's money. So why should I care how other teams spend their money? And once again, if the Dolphins extend Tua, I'll accept it. I'm not going to fault Tua. All I'm saying is you don't need to rush to extend him right now because you could still go down the franchise tag road. It happened with Kirk Cousins. We've seen this play out before. You could get a deal done a year from now, and I get it. That could be awkward. That could create some friction inside the organization. That could create some contentious relationships. But guess what? When the ball gets placed down in September, people aren't focused on contracts. People are focused on ball. They're focused on football. They're focused on winning games. They're focused on taking the next step for the Miami Dolphins. So you could have these preliminary talks and have those talks and maybe see if you get a deal done. But all I'm saying is it doesn't have to happen this offseason. And quite frankly, I don't think it would be smart of the Dolphins to give him $50 million a year for the next 4 or 5 years and throw him all this guaranteed money off one good season where they didn't win a playoff game. And you look at the Miami Dolphins, there were a lot of big games where the offense failed them. Like I said, in Kansas City. And, you know, in, with that game up in Germany going up against the Chiefs. So the Buffalo game at the end of the season. Heck, the one team that the Dolphins beat that was actually considered a good team were the Dallas Cowboys. But we know the Dallas Cowboys, they were the same thing. They beat up on a bunch of bad teams and they couldn't actually beat any of the good teams. So it's not a situation where you have to do it this offseason. And that's all I'm saying. But it's amazing when you say something like that, the response, it occurs from the Dolphin fan base. Or this goes for the for any other fan base when you say, don't give the quarterback the extension. It's not me being a hater. It's not me saying the quarterback's horrible. It's not. Once again, I think Tua's good. I just said Tua's anywhere from 8 to 13 in quarterback rankings. Tua is a good quarterback. But I don't have to bend over backwards for just a good quarterback and expedite a contract extension. I don't. I need to see what he could do this year in back-to-back seasons. And can he not only replicate what he did last year, but take it the next step? And I get it. When you feel like you have the guy, and Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, they think they have the guy, it does behoove you to get the contract done sooner rather than later, because the longer you wait, the more and more the price tag goes up. But I can't sit here and confidently say that Tua is going to be a great quarterback. And Tua is a franchise quarterback. And as I have said, I only think his ceiling is a good quarterback in the NFL. I don't think Tua Tagovailoa wins a Super Bowl in the NFL. And still, with all that being said, it's going to be tough to move on. It's going to be tough to find a quarterback better. And I'm not saying the Dolphins are moving on from Tua. All I am simply saying is you don't need to give him the contract extension this offseason just because he's entering the final year of his deal. Make him prove it once again. And then if he does prove it once again, I'd be happy to write a check. And I know it's not me writing the check, but I would be fine with the Dolphins writing a check, even if it costs them $5 more million a year. It is not wrong. It is not the wrong thing to do in the NFL to wait a little bit, even if it ends up becoming uncomfortable. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Should the Dolphins extend Tua Tagovailoa? I think you can realize in the last 15 minutes where I stand on that right now. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the Vikings have said that Justin Jefferson is one of the best non-quarterbacks in the NFL. Who are the five best non-quarterbacks in the NFL? We'll get into that conversation when we continue on the Zach Gelb Show in 5 minutes.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I heard Kwesi Adofo-Mensah the other day while praising Justin Jefferson, who you guys all know I'm a huge fan of. He called him one of the best non-quarterbacks and one of the best players in the NFL. I think we could all agree that Justin Jefferson, Jay Jettas, is one of the preeminent non-quarterbacks in the NFL. But it got me thinking. Who are the five best non-quarterbacks in football? Because when you talk about the five best players in the league, it is so tough to not give the tiebreaker to the quarterback position just because the quarterback is not only the most important position in football, but it's the most important position in all of sports. There is no more important position in sports and more covered and highly coveted position in sports than being the quarterback of an NFL team. So when I go through the five best non-quarterbacks in the NFL, I'll make it a mission right out of the gate. I feel terrible not putting an offensive lineman in there. And the one offensive lineman that I considered was one of the greatest tackles of all time in Trent Williams. But Trent Williams didn't make the top five for me. So here's my list, five best non-quarterbacks in the NFL. And I'll go from 5 to 1. In at number 5, it's Chris Jones, the defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. When I look at Chris Jones, not only is he a multiple-time world champion, and not only was he an enormous storyline heading into this year with going into week one, the contract not being rectified and him sitting in the luxury box as the Detroit Lions just edged out the eventual back-to-back world champions in the Kansas City Chiefs. But you look at Chris Jones, he may be right now the best defensive tackle in football. And for a while, that tag was given to Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald came up incredibly clutch in that Super Bowl up against Cincinnati Bengals, where he threw the Bengals offensive line around like they were a rag doll and made the biggest play when you needed it, with Jamar Chase open right down that sideline. And if Donald doesn't get there as quick as he did, the Rams don't have a championship. But now we've seen Chris Jones win multiple championships. And Chris Jones, remember that 3rd and 4 in the first Super Bowl championship for the Chiefs with this regime? He batted the ball down at the line of scrimmage. And then this past year, he went right through the offensive line in overtime to force the San Francisco 49ers, to kick the field goal. So Chris Jones, to me, is the fifth best non-quarterback in the NFL. And a big reason why is we all know he's an elite player, but planet players make planet plays in the biggest of moments. And that's what Chris Jones does consistently. So Chris Jones in at number 5. In at number four, it's Justin Jefferson. We all know the historical start that Justin Jefferson got off to in his first 3 years in the NFL, and he got slowed down a little bit this year by injuries. But Justin Jefferson right now is the second best wide receiver in the NFL. And when I say the quarterback is the most important position in football, then it turns out to be now from a money standpoint, wide receivers are now making great wide receivers like 30-something million dollars a year. Because we know this league now is predicated off passing the football. So when a quarterback is so important, how many times a quarterback throws a football, explosive wide receivers and their priority now in the league just keeps on going up and up and up. Like, when I look at the most important positions in football, I would say quarterback is one. I would then say two is offensive line, your tackle. Three would be wide receiver. And then fourth would be your defensive end. Those, to me, are the four most important positions in the NFL. So, Chris Jones in at five, the explosiveness and the ridiculous start of Justin Jefferson in at number four. In at number three is Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill and his speed just absolutely kills. And it's so lethal. And I know that he has left Kansas City, and Kansas City has still found a way to win without him. But Tyreek Hill could be on the offensive side of the ball, talking non-quarterbacks. He is, not could be, he is the most intimidating player for defensive coordinators outside of quarterbacks on the offensive side of the ball. Because I just don't know how you stop him. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you see the, and I don't like Tyreek Hill the person. I have made that clear throughout the years. But there's a difference, Tyreek Hill the person, than Tyreek Hill the football player. In this conversation, five best non-quarterbacks in the NFL, even though if I don't like Tyreek Hill the person, I got to acknowledge his greatness on the field. But there's the latest allegations out there of Tyreek Hill. I guess he slid into the DMs of a plus-size model, is the correct wording here. And then Tyreek Hill, I'm assuming, has a football camp just from the story that I was reading. And this model brought her kid to the football camp. And while at the camp, I guess Tyreek Hill, allegedly, just from the article that I read, said to the model, who I guess he was hitting on, from the way that I read it, oh, participate in these drills. And Tyreek Hill, I guess, was like dropping back to pass or some kind of drill. And the model, plus size model, hit him and he fell back a little bit. And he got embarrassed and allegedly got physical with the plus size model. Now, I don't know about you, Samter. Like, nothing surprises me anymore. And if those allegations are true, they're absolutely horrible. But when I was reading that article, I almost thought I was reading an Onion article at first. Or what's the Twitter account? Ballsack Sports. Because it's just one of those things where even though nothing surprises me anymore, and I give Tyreek Hill the benefit of the doubt to absolutely be at zero. Like, I will never give him the benefit of the doubt. Great player, but I don't like him as a human being. And I don't shy away from that. And Tyreek Hill is always associated with something off the field. You're in a football camp that's your camp, and there's someone there that I guess you're flirting with, and because she what pushed you back a little bit in a drill that you were organizing, then you allegedly, I think she broke a leg or something like that. She was on crutches.
She had a fracture.
That's crazy.
Now, a fracture could be a lot of things, right? Like a hairline fracture.
Sure.
It could be like you got hurt and there's just like a little
but
chip.
But still.
In the yes.
You get physical, you push her back.
Well, we're also hearing the story from her side. We're
true.
Hearing the story that she said that, you know, I embarrassed him and so he wanted to hurt me. It also could just be a situation where, like, they were all having fun. She may have thought he was embarrassed, and then maybe he was a little bit overzealous, but, like, wasn't intending to do anything bad. She just happened to agree to do a drill. Maybe she signed a waiver. We don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure
knows?
They all have to sign waivers anytime they do any kind of drills at these camps.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Who knows? It seemed like this was, like, a private thing,
and
though.
Listen, Tyreek Hill, like you said, he has a lot of warts on his resume
yeah,
as far as being
that.
A person. So I wouldn't throw anything past him, but
put it this way, and I hate to say it this way, but this is just the way that I feel. If this was just a regular woman and this was not a model, no one would be making excuses for Tyreek Hill here. And that's just the reality. If Tyreek Hill wasn't a big successful star and this wasn't a model, no one would be saying, oh, we have to hear the other side of the story with Tyreek Hill. Like, this is just a regular gal, mother who was just, like a receptionist somewhere that brought her kid to a football camp. No one would be trying to see the other side of this story, what did go down. But anyway, I digress. I don't want to spend much more time on that story. Going back to the five best nine quarterbacks in the NFL, Chris Jones 5, Justin Jefferson 4, Tyreek Hill 3. Now, Micah Parsons isn't going to like this answer, but Myles Garrett is 2. And Myles Garrett, there was a play this year where he was taunting the right tackle and the left tackle. Remember, he was going from side to side, and it actually forced a delay of game. He is one of the most dominant players in the NFL, and he is a hulk of a human being. He is just incredible, and he is so strong, we all know that. But the reason why I'm going him 2 and T.J. Watt 1 is 3 out of the last 4 seasons, T.J. Watt has led the NFL in sacks. And that matters. And I know Myles Garrett just won Defensive Player of the Year. Personally, I would have gone T.J. Watt over Myles Garrett. You're splitting hairs. I'm not irate either way. But I would have given the 1% edge over to T.J. Watt compared to Myles Garrett because T.J. Watt did lead the NFL in sacks this past year. So, Sam, did anything jump out to you there? Those are my 5 best non-quarterbacks in the NFL. Chris Jones, 5. Justin Jefferson, 4. Tyreek Hill, 3. Myles Garrett, 2. And T.J. Watt in at number 1.
There's a few names I'm surprised that are not on the list.
Throw them at me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Two, just from the 49ers alone. Christian McCaffrey, who is probably the most versatile offensive player in the NFL. And then Deebo Samuel, who, if he's not the most versatile, he's right behind Christian McCaffrey. So those are the two guys.
McCaffrey has to be on that list. You know what? It's a great point. I will admit when I'm wrong. Deebo, I cannot put in the top 5. Trent Williams, I would put in before Deebo. Yeah, McCaffrey has to be in the top 5. I would bump out. I'd actually slide McCaffrey into 3. Bump down Tyreek to 4 and Justin Jefferson to 5 and just slide out Chris Jones. You're 1,000% right. With Christian McCaffrey, the running back position gets devalued a lot of times in this conversation, but he's more than just a running back, especially what he does in the receiving game. You're right. From an offensive player standpoint, McCaffrey has to be the best non-quarterback in the league. 100% right.
Okay, and I think really, I mean, there's other names that you can argue, but there's no other receiver that goes to the Tyreek Hill, Jettas conversation.
Devontae Adams for a little bit, and Devontae Adams has been a stud. I think Devontae Adams is the third best receiver in football.
Yeah, there were a couple other receivers, but again, I think that they're behind those two, and if those two are 4 and 5, now that McCaffrey's in, there's no other running back I'd put in. Defensively, I love Chris Jones, and he's a game changer, but maybe he's off the list now that we put McCaffrey in, but I can make the argument for Max Crosby as well over Chris Jones, but there's not a lot of other names that I would really have a big argument with. It was just McCaffrey. And the only reason I mentioned Deebo is just because he's so crucial to that offense as a running back, as a receiver, as a blocker, as everything. He's so versatile, but he's not the third best receiver. He's just versatile in the sense of his offensive versatility.
So when we were talking about Brock Purdy and who's the most important people on that offense, I said it was McCaffrey 1, it was Trent Williams 2, and it was Deebo 3. I just put a higher importance on the left tackle position for that team with Trent Williams, and it's not undermining Deebo here. And then McCaffrey, to me, is really the straw that stirs the drink for that offense. And I think he is I thought there was a while in the NFL season where he should have won MVP. So I'll update that because you are right with McCaffrey. That was a bad job by me there, an oversight by me. Watt 1, Garrett 2, McCaffrey 3, Tyreek 4, and Justin Jefferson would be 5. That's some good checks and balances right there. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Alrighty, who are some of the best non-quarterbacks in the NFL? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio with the news brief. Update time first, though. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's start off with Stephen Jones. Has he thought about life without Dak Prescott in the final year of his contract?
Because you don't have to, you can't use the tag on Dak and there's no trade and all that, do you have to start thinking about the possibility of life without him at all at this point?
We won't get our whole thing with Dak is him being a Cowboy. That's all that's on our mind. And certainly don't get into those type of thoughts.
So this is what we were talking about earlier with Tua. So here's the thing with Dak. He's in the final year of his deal. And the cap number is so high for Dak Prescott. It's almost $60 million for this year. So if you think that Dak Prescott is going to be your guy and you're going to give him another long-term deal, then it makes sense to give him a new contract because then you can move around the numbers. And that's a big part about that, where you could have that cap hit go down for this year and not be $59.45 million against the cap. I'm not expecting Stephen Jones, though, to say that they've thought about life without Dak Prescott because they've just been through this a few years ago, not that long ago, 4 years ago, where they went through a long process where Dak didn't get an extension. And then ultimately, they did finally give Dak Prescott that extension. I just don't believe that they're going to move on from Dak. You can make a case. You could say Dak's not worth the money. But once again, it's that dilemma. Like Tua, you have a good quarterback. You probably think you could find better, but will you actually be able to find better? Dak's going to be the guy in Dallas for another 3 or 4 seasons, and he'll get one more contract extension. Maybe it happens this offseason. Maybe it happens next offseason. But yeah, I would probably say that this is going to be the final, or should be the final, contract extension with Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys. But like, look at a situation in Minnesota, where Kirk Cousins has been a good quarterback, now a free agent. And look how long Kirk Cousins kept on getting another year, another year, another year in Minnesota. And now some people are believing that they're going to find a way to get another deal done, even though they think they could get a better quarterback or there's better quarterbacks out there. But when you have a good quarterback, that's the GM's biggest fear. You run that quarterback out of town, it's not as easy as you make it out to be, where you could just find the next guy. Here is Joe Shane. So he was on a Giants radio show. This is a team-issued web show, radio show, whatever you want to call it. And they were taking phone calls, which you usually do not have happen. Like, we've had Joe Shane on this show many times before. It's never been, hey, 855-212-4CBS, give a phone call, and you get to talk to the general manager of the Giants. But here is a fan question on a Giants-issued streaming show where Joe Shane was on with two co-hosts, and a fan rang up the show, and he isn't a big fan of Daniel Jones, to say the least. Listen up.
This might be a little friendly fire. I know every time someone talks about Daniel Jones, they talk about the Minnesota game, but I can bring up 20 other games when he wasn't very good at all, like the Dallas game when it was 40-0, the Philadelphia divisional game when he was god-awful. What do you see in this guy? I don't get it, especially he's got 2 neck injuries, ACL, had concussions. How can you move on with that?
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks for the call, Charlie.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Yeah, what I see is a young man that has all the physical tools and athleticism to play the quarterback in the NFL.
So that is what I like to call checks and balances. You are doing something where you have the general manager joining your team-issued show. And it's a nice idea in theory to have that general manager be on the show interacting with fans. But when you open it up to fans, because no offense to the two people that are employed by the Giants, they're not going to put Joe Shane in a tough position when you're getting a paycheck from the Giants. Like, I'm not saying team reporters are bad, But there's always a grain of salt that you have to put when something is done by team reporters because they're paid by the team. Like, I have a good relationship with Joe Shane. I've had Joe Shane on this show numerous times. I actually exchanged a text message with him yesterday. So I'm a fan of Joe Shane. But if Joe Shane comes on this show, I'm asking a similar question that the caller asked. But the two people that are hosting the team-issued show are not going to ask that to Joe Shane. So that was a funny sequence where you have a caller who's basically just trashes the quarterback of the Giants and says to the GM, what do you see in him that no one else basically sees in him? And right away, the two people that are hosting the show are like, yep, thanks for the call. And I'll let you in on a little lingo here in radio, a little radio lingo. When you were on a remote location and someone is controlling, like let's say we were at the combine and Ryan Botcher is running the board. If I say thanks for the call, that means hang the bleep up on this person. Like I can't control that. Sometimes there's technology that allows you to control it when you're on location. But a lot of times I've been at places and I've done events and you say to the board op, if I say thanks for the call, that means hang up on the person. And that's the way that you communicate on the air. And they could not have pulled pressed the button quick enough to disconnect that caller. At least they let him get the entire question out. And Joe Shane handled it perfectly. But it's a fair question because I don't think anyone actually believes that Daniel Jones is the long-term answer for the Giants. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is a bad quarterback. I just think he's average. Now, he did impress 2 years ago where he used his mobility. He extended plays, and he didn't have a lot around him. But also, you have to factor this in. Guy's not healthy. And when you've already suffered at a young age this many injuries, it would be malpractice to the organization if you weren't, especially with the 6th overall pick, at least doing your due diligence and seeing if someone falls to you or if you move up in the draft into the top 3 to go get your quarterback of the future. Let's go to Mecole Hardman. And this is Mecole Hardman on what went wrong with the Jets. Let's listen up.
I know for a fact I'm better than him, for sure. You know, I know I'm better than him. I'm better than him, too. Garrett Wilson, the only person y'all should just be like, hey, like, that's fine. But when you come to certain other things, like, come on, like, I don't understand why I'm not in the rotation with that. And y'all never gave me a reason as to why either. This my thing was, y'all can't tell me about winning. I've been to 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. I know what winning looks like.
Right.
I know what winning is. So y'all keep telling me certain things. It's like, I'm not going for that because y'all not doing it right.
Samter, this is a very interesting last 2 days for your former football team and the New York Jets, where they're not even trying to be a part of the drama, but here they are where they're right in the middle of the drama, and they're just getting showed that they are like a circus. So Deion Dawkins, we played it yesterday, won't play it again today. He just trashed Michael Clemens and a lot of the Jets' defense, which I think is a fair assessment of the Jets' defense. Like, Quinnen Williams is really good. He's great. Sauce Gardner's great. Quincy Williams is great. Like, the Jets have a lot of great players on defense, but their defense is just a good defense, not a great defense. Like, that defense thinks they're the 85 Bears. They're the LOB. They are the Steel Curtain. They're the early 2000 Baltimore Ravens. They're not. So I think that was fair of what Deion Dawkins had to say. Could have been a little bit unnecessary, sure, but Deion's my guy from college, but I will even admit that was a little bit unnecessary. But Deion, when you ask him a question, every time he gives you a genuine answer. And then you have Mecole Hardman going on the Pivot podcast and just trashing the Jets organization. Now, Sauce Gardner tweeted this out. And he tweeted, we ain't going to talk about how our offensive game plan got leaked versus the Eagles, though. And then he deleted it. And now a lot of people are saying or accusing Mecole Hardman of maybe leaking the game plan to try to get himself out of the Jets organization. And I don't know if I believe this, but if that's true and you're on the team and you're leaking the game plan to another team, and crazy enough, the Jets actually won that game up against Philadelphia because Jalen Hurts threw a late interception. He had a bunch of interceptions in that game. It's just a wild last 48 hours for the Jets where they got dragged by Deion Dawkins and now Mecole Hardman is just taking a bunch of shots at the Jets organization on the offensive side of the ball for everyone that's not named Aaron Rodgers or Garrett Wilson. crazy, crazy last 48 hours, Samter, for your former football team of the New York Jets.
Whatever. You know what? When Aaron Rodgers comes back, they're going to win the Super Bowl, unless my Chiefs take them out for sure.
Who's blocking on that offensive line? Because Joe Douglas has been there for now, what, half a decade? And that offensive line still sucks?
Yeah, they got rid of three of their starting offensive linemen. They're going to draft an O-lineman or O-tackle at number 10. They're going to bring in Bakhtiari, who's coming off of injury, and then they'll sign some guard somewhere, and they'll be fine.
Okay. You think they could win a Super Bowl next year?
Yeah, with Bakhtiari, a first-round offensive tackle, a new guard, because they had the worst-rated guard in the NFL in Lakin Tomlinson, and Aaron Rodgers coming back with that defense, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, they can win a Super Bowl.
You sniffing glue these days?
So much of it. You have no idea, man. Like three different kinds of glue and all these different kinds of products. It's crazy.
Okay. We'll get to producers around here that have crazy takes, because my old producer, Hot Take Hickey, maybe had one of the craziest takes I've ever heard. We'll get to that coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's get to the play-by-play. So, Max Strus, how many three-pointers did he hit in this comeback? It was like four or five?
It was five in the last 3.5 minutes, including what you're about to hear.
And it was a half-court game winner. Let's go to the Cavs play-by-play first. This is the Cavaliers Radio Network of the Max Strus game winner.
Pass deflected by Mobley, but grabbed by Doncic. Doncic bounced underneath the PJ, and he laid it in with 2.6 to go. Cavs out of timeout. Strus into Mobley. Back to Max. Half-court shot. Good! Good! He hit it! Cavs win! This place is going crazy! The Cavaliers had 2.6. They were out of timeouts. Strus let it fly. Strus hit nothing but net. Strus on the loose with the game winner in one of the most incredible endings you will ever see.
Strus on the loose. I like that. That's good. That's like a 9.1 out of 10 call at a moment of euphoria like that. But I want to hear the misery. Let's listen up to the Mavs radio network on the losing side of the Max Strus game-winning three-point shot.
5 seconds underneath Washington. 2.6 to go. They're out of timeouts. Dallas leads by one. Mobley, Strus, a heave. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Max Strus, I don't believe it.
I got to review it.
Max Strus hit it from 60 feet. Absolute heartbreak city.
The excitement in the beginning. I was already dying in the first 3 seconds because you know what's going to happen. The announcer obviously doesn't, and he's so excited, making it like feel as if it's a big game in the regular season. And then you just have that shot, and it's like the instant dagger of just like, oh, now I have to talk? Are you kidding me? That was awesome. That was phenomenal, seeing both sides of it. Good job there. All righty, that's a news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I gave you my top five non-quarterbacks in the NFL. TJ Watt, 1. Myles Garrett, 2. Christian McCaffrey, 3. Tyreek Hill, 4. Justin Jefferson, 5. Gave honorable mentions to Chris Jones and Trent Williams. Casseray on Twitter says, how about Penei Sewell? Not yet. Dean Kelly says Travis Kelce. Didn't have a great regular season, but was awesome in the postseason. To me, not in the top five. Coming on back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.